never, never will.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, April 7th. And today our guest is Miss Adia Rogers of Trendy Social Life. She's also the creator of the International Natural Hair Meetup Day, and she'll tell us a little bit about that a little later on. But I want to remind you all that our call-in number for guests who have questions and comments is 914-803-4399. Again, 914-803-4399. I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and she has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Just very briefly, some quick beauty news. For anybody who attended the IMATS trade show in New York this weekend, if you're on the phone lines or in the chat room, give us a call or jot down some comments about what you thought about IMATS New York yesterday and today. And also, just a brief reminder again about Marietta Carter Narcisse's workshop coming up next weekend, the 12th and 13th. Hold on one second. I'll give you the exact date. The 13th and 14th, I'm sorry, Saturday and Sunday, and also the 20th and 21st will be the last 2 days. And the workshop is called Script Breakdown and Set Etiquette, and those, again, are workshops by Marietta. And then really quickly, at 11 a.m. on Saturday the 13th, she will have her lipstick lecture, which is a free class, Who Runs the Makeup Department. So she'll talk all about who runs the makeup department. That's a free online class. If you want more information about that class or the paid class, workshops by Marietta, Script Breakdown, Set Etiquette class, you can go to her website, which is MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. That's MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com for more information on that. And last but not least, we were going to try to get Cheryl Morrell from the Fame Expo to come on tonight, but we'll try to get her for next week so she can give you all the information on Fame Expo in Pasadena, California, this June 29th and 30th. And also, if you would like a free one-day pass to the Fame Expo, and you know if you know that you can attend for sure, and you would like a free one-day pass, you can call into the show and just comment on tonight's show, or you can log on into our chat room and leave a comment in the chat room about tonight's show, and also mention that you would like free tickets, both on the phone line and in the chat room. And to call us here, it's 914-803-4399. Again, 914-803-4399.
All right. Thank you very much. Adia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It is both an honor and a pleasure to be with you all this evening.
Well, thank you.
We're
so happy to
have you.
So tell us, what Trendy Social Life is all about.
Well, I'm just a girl from the South, and the Trendy Social Life name actually came from a quiz I took in the Budget Fashionista book several years ago, and it was ascertaining what my style was, and I had an equal score for both being trendy and being socialite in terms of a style icon or style type. And so I said, that really does encapsulate who I am. I have some classic styles or some classic things that I like to wear, but I like to throw in trends to just shake things up a little bit. I'm not predictable, and I don't tend to follow trends or styles or any of those things. I mean, I do to a degree, but I also try to set my own based on what I like, what I think looks good on me, and things of that nature. So that's sort of where the trendy socialite started, and I found that there are a lot of women that are like that, that have these really eclectic individual senses of style, and that's really what the trendy socialite is all about. Plus, we are well-rounded, multifaceted women that are engaged and in our communities, and we serve, we lead, we work, we give, and all of those things, and that is part of who we are as well, and I think that's what makes up the beauty of being a trendy socialite.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about natural hair.
Yes.
When did all of that start for you? That's one of your favorite topics?
It's one of them, yes. Absolutely. So for me, natural hair, I was a part of a hair care forum for several years, still am. And as part of that forum, I was watching vicariously different women going through the transitioning and the natural hair journey and process, whether they big chopped or whether they did what's called a long-term transition. And so I gradually became a little bit more curious about that. I, for one, hadn't seen my natural hair. Well, I had never seen it, actually. I got my first relaxer when I was about 5 years old. And,
oh, wow.
Right, exactly. My mom took me to a well-known hairstylist in our area and was like, unless you want me to bring my daughter to you every morning before school so you can do her hair, I need something to help me manage it. She was a working mom, and she just needed some help in doing that. So I've had a relaxer ever since I was 5 years old. And honestly, up until that point, which was in probably I was maybe 31, 32, I never had any sort of relaxer horror stories. I hadn't been burned. No major breakage, bald spots, any of that kind of stuff. So I was relatively pleased with my hair. I did whatever I wanted to do to it and with it. As a result of being in the hair care forum, I was taking better care of my hair in its relaxed state. So it was growing, it was thickening up, it was thriving, and things of that nature. So I was pretty pleased with it in that regard. But I just became curious as to what the texture was, what it would be like to have natural hair, to be able to style it. And I saw the different ways that women were styling it and being able to wear it curly one day and almost straight the next, put it up, take it down, all these kinds of things. And I was honestly curious. So I had my last relaxer on my birthday in 2008, December 16th, 2008 was my last relaxer. But even before that, I was stretching my relaxers. I was going, at the longest, my longest stretch was about 16 weeks. In between relaxers, yes. So it was a lot of deep conditioning. I was wearing a lot of roller sets, things like that to help soften and make my hair more manageable. So, and what I was finding is that when I got my hair relaxed, I no longer liked the bone straightness of it. So I said, well, you know what, let me try this and just see what happens. If I didn't like it, if it didn't work, if I didn't feel like it fit into who I am or my lifestyle or things like that, I can always go back to getting a relaxer. So I had my last relaxer on my birthday, and I thought that I was going to be what's called a long-term transitioner, meaning that I was, because I was already used to stretching, I was going to continue to stretch for at least try to stretch about a year, maybe 2 years. And I was following a blog, maidenchic.com, which is one of my favorite blogs, and she did a long-term transition before she actually big-chopped her hair. So that's what I thought I was going to do. And I was all gung-ho, and I was going along with it. And I went on vacation and probably in May, and for that vacation, I got braids. And I didn't thoroughly vet this braider like I normally do because I was kind of in a hurry. And I saw someone else's, and then I was like, well, let me just, you know, go do this because I had never had a problem with braids before. But this time, I did. So I ended up having a really bad braid experience and ended up having to cut some of my hair, and it was just a big old mess. So I ended up with equal parts of new natural growth and relaxed ends. And I thought that I would be able to manage that and continue on with my transitioning process. Well, I'm the type of person that if I have one too many, what I consider kind of bad hair days or days that I don't feel like I look my best, then I do something about it. So I had a couple of those days back to back, and I remember I was at church, and my godmother is a hairstylist. And so I said, well, what time are you going to be home later this evening? And she told me, and I said, well, I'm coming to your house so you can cut these relaxed ends off. She just kind of looked at me with this deer in headlights look. She was like, oh, okay. So on June 26, 2009, I cut my relaxed ends off and big chopped, and the rest is history, I guess. Or it was actually just a start, but that's sort of where I started.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep. What do you say?
Over 3.5 years, and I would not trade it for anything in the world. I have enjoyed the highs and the lows of it.
What do you think that this natural hair craze is all about? Why is it so popular now for people to grow out their relaxers and wear their hair natural? What do you think?
I think that there are quite a few reasons. I think that I'm a little bit in the minority of maybe just being curious. I feel like what I hear mostly from people that make the decision to go natural is that they've either had a bad experience with a relaxer. And what I'm increasingly finding is that due to health concerns and health issues that women are facing, that even some doctors are saying no more chemical relaxers. So some of them are having to make it as a decision of their health and their well-being as individuals and not even necessarily about style per se. You know, they're finding that their hair is thickening up and that they're not experiencing some of the breakage and the shedding and things like that. My mom had a huge afro back in the 70s, and she was saying that a lot of that for them was about messaging and asserting their independence and kind of breaking the norm and redefining beauty. And I feel like that's also, it's just come full circle again. And I feel like now that that is also something that people are trying to express, that I don't have to look like everyone else, that I don't have to have a certain image of beauty in order to be considered beautiful. And I think that's one of the most liberating things about being a woman, period, is that ability to choose whatever it is that you want to be and that you want to look like. And so that's why I also shy away from any sort of controversy or relaxer bashing or any of that sort of thing because, I mean, I've been relaxed way, like 10 times longer than I've been natural. So I know what that lifestyle, if you will, is all about, and I enjoyed it. So I'm not going to talk about something that I wore for 32 years of my life, actually probably a little bit longer than that. But at the same time, for who I am, today and where I am right now, this best fits me and this best communicates how I feel about myself, my individuality, and my beauty as well.
Gotcha. We just want to remind everybody that's listening in tonight that our call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399 if you have questions and comments. I know there are a lot of natural hair people out there, so do not be afraid to call in and share your story as well. And again, you can join us tonight in the chat room as well to comment about the show or even ask a question. Now that you're natural, what are some of the, have you faced any difficulties, I should say, in growing out your hair naturally?
Oh, gosh, yes. And I think that's sometimes one of the fallacies and misnomers about the natural hair journey. It is a journey, and there are some winding, dark places on your journey with natural hair. I went through a period of time where I was walking really slow down the relaxed aisle at the beauty supply store. I might have to do something about this. I mean, I was calling my hairstylist. I was dialing 6 of his 7 digits because I was about to say, put me down on the books because I'm coming back. And so I tell people that are newly natural, if it is natural and it is okay that you have these moments almost like this crisis of belief, like, what did I do? What is going on? I mean, that's sort of normal. That doesn't mean that you regret your decision or you change your decision. It just means that that's what I feel like is a normal part of the journey and the process for a lot of people. There are some people that didn't have an issue from day one. They've had a great journey. But there are a lot of us that have almost said, I don't think I can do this any longer. Something has got to give. I just need something different.
Well, you know, there's definitely a misconception where people think that natural is easier. To me, natural is harder.
It is absolutely harder. And that's one of the other things that I communicate with people is that natural hair is not get-up-and-go hair. No hair is get-up-and-go hair. Even if you have, I mean, unless you're bald maybe, but you still have to maintain that in terms of keeping it close. And I know that there are some women that are very close to bald or have brush cuts and seizures and different things like that. But even if you have a TWA, you have to do something to your hair. If not every day, at least every other day, you have to wet it or scrunch it or twist it or, you know, do something to it to get some sort of style in it. So it is not get up and go hair. And people think that once it gets longer, it gets easier. And honestly, it kind of doesn't. Because you get to this length where you have to do something. You have to twist your hair. You have to style it in some way. And sometimes it's just hard. I can't tell you the number of late nights that I've been standing up in front of a mirror twisting hair. And, you know, and I thought, oh, to go back to the days where I could spend 5 minutes wrapping my hair and putting a scarf on and getting into bed. No, I got to spend 10, 15 minutes, you know, doing something to it. But, again, it's part of the journey. And, I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy the results the next morning. So, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Right.
Absolutely.
What would your advice be to someone who wanted to start this whole natural hair journey?
Well, I think the first thing that I would advise is to educate yourself. I spent probably close to a year watching videos on YouTube and reading blogs and watching other people's journeys and to see what that was like so I could see, is this something that I can commit to? And is this something that I will be able to carry out and incorporate into my life and busy schedule and things of that nature? So I would definitely say educate yourself. I think a lot of people, when I big chop, they thought that I just did it on a whim, but they don't know that for at least a year I had been devising a plan and thinking about it and thinking about what I was going to do and the styles I wanted to try to create, the accessories and the products and all of those things that I felt like I would need in order to have a successful journey. And I think that's what people need to do. Like, you need to have a plan for this. Even if it doesn't always work out, you need to, how often can I wash my hair or co-wash my hair? How often am I going to be able to twist it? Is it such that I need to stay with a smaller TWA that I can manage, that works with my lifestyle, my career path, and things of that nature? As opposed to growing it out or locking it or different things like that? Or should I lock it? Is that something that, you know, I should do? I think you have to think about those things as we plan for our careers and our families and our education. To me, this is something, it doesn't take, it's not as, I guess, hugely impactful as those things, but it's something that you need to think about having a plan for.
Well, you know, for me, when I decided to, you know, go natural and get rid of the relaxer, for me, it was just as simple as being in the salon, and I'm looking at my hairstylist, and she's pressing somebody's hair. And so when it's my turn and I get in the seat, and I'm saying to her, oh, I didn't know, you know, you still, you know, pressed hair. And she was like, oh, yeah, all the time. And so I thought, wow, well, I could have been doing this instead of the relaxer. And so at that point, when that last relaxer, I was, you know, I just thought, this is it. I'm not going back. And it's like when I made the decision to go natural, I start running into people who were natural and who had just started going natural, and they were, you know, but they were wearing their hair straight. They were just getting it pressed, or they would actually go to the barber shop and get it cut. And then they would straighten their hair out themselves with just a flat iron.
Oh,
and
so wow.
So I thought, well, maybe I can do this. And then I thought, well, even if I can't do it, I know I can come back and, you know, I can go to my stylist and she can do it. But I thought, I could wear my hair pressed. That's not a big issue for me. I can do that. And so that's what I did. I just, you know, I stopped with the relaxer, and then after maybe a month or so, I started wearing braids.
Mm-hmm.
And wore that, and then I think I went out of town to work on a movie or something, and that whole summer I just wore my hair in cornrows. And after that, I came home and took the cornrows out, and then I was shocked because my hair was shedding, and I didn't realize it was just my hair shedding. You know, naturally, it's going to have to shed at some point, you know.
Right.
But especially when you're getting rid of that relaxer, you're going to go through a lot more shedding.
Yes.
And
so
at that point, I just, you know, started cutting it, you know, as much as I could stand. And then, you know, I continued to get it pressed. And then finally, I just got all of the relaxer cut out.
Right.
And then I started my journey.
And pressing has come such a long way than when we were little girls.
Yeah, it has.
So it has come, in terms of the products, the techniques and things like that, it's become such a long way. So you can be natural, chemical-free, whatever, relaxer-free, whatever you want to call it, and still wear your hair straight. And it's beautiful. My one of my really good friends' daughter is 17, and she's never had a relaxer. Her hair is absolutely gorgeous. And she's just had it pressed over the years, and it is healthy and vibrant, and it looks like she has a relaxer.
Wow.
There are so many options, and I just love the fact that in this community, there's such versatility. That's one of my favorite things about me.
Right.
You know, we have a caller on the line, and before I get to our caller, I just wanted to say and ask this question. And I'm listening to you talk, and you're talking about having a plan. I think about people like you were, you know, I guess you were ready to call your stylist, I guess, soon after you made the decision. I know of some people who blow their relaxers out, and it'll be a year or more, and then they're like, forget it, and they go back to relaxers. Besides having a plan and being very patient, how would you encourage someone to just hang in there and to continue, you know, with growing their hair naturally?
One of the first things that I would suggest is to have a way to keep yourself inspired, whether are a few YouTube videos of people, not necessarily with waist-length hair, because when you have a TWA, looking at somebody with waist-length hair can be overwhelming a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But look at people that are, I mean, look at those as well, because then you can see what your end result can be. But also look at people that are around the same stage in their hair care journey as you are, and watch how they maintain their hair and how they feel about their hair. And that can help you. One small little tweak or one small little addition to your regimen can make all the difference in the world. And I would love to talk about the one thing that absolutely revolutionized and changed my natural hair care journey, because there was one thing that I added to my regimen that did that. But do that. And I think early on you have to understand that the moisture balance in natural hair is different than it is in relaxed hair.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do a lot more to keep your hair moisturized as a natural than you did as relaxed. And where you could go 2 or 3 days without putting product in your hair, most people, depending on their texture and their hair type, can't do that once they go natural. So finding that moisture balance and that product that really helps keep your hair soft and manageable, and that's what helps hold your styles. So sometimes when people say their twists won't last and things like that, some of that has to do with the fact that their moisture balance is off. So finding that is probably one of the things that will absolutely make your journey easier and more enjoyable.
Gotcha. Right, we're going to bring on, excuse me, we're going to bring on Sharon Tina. Okay, I'm trying.
Hello?
Hold on, here we go. Hey.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so you guys are talking about one of my favorite topics, because I went natural in 2007, and it's been the hardest journey ever. Back in 2007, it was way before the whole boom of everyone.
Let me interrupt you really quickly.
Uh-huh.
When I see your pictures, the journey doesn't look hard at all. Let me just say that. Okay, keep going.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Looks can be deceiving. But, I went natural in 2007, and it was because it was a girl in my classroom. I was in 12th grade, and she had the most beautiful hair, and I'm like, what do you do to your hair? She's like, oh, first thing she said was, I don't get relaxers. So, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm not getting a relaxer ever again. And so I stopped, and I went about a year, and then like Adia was saying, when you walk down the aisles and you see all the relaxers, I did that, and I caved. So I ended up getting a relaxer after a whole year of trying to grow my hair out, and like, right after I got it, I was like, why did I do that? I just ruined everything. Oh, my God. I was so mad, like, literally, like, right after I did it. So I started over, and I haven't had one since then. So, but, yeah, I think the hardest part is, like she just mentioned, keeping it moisturized, because I have no clue, like, how often I should moisturize it, what I should put in it. I don't really put anything in my hair. I just, like, wash and condition it. So I don't know. That's been, like, a really hard part of maintaining it, and then dyeing it, like putting color, also dries it out more. So I did that, and now they just added more problems on top of that. So I don't know. It's been interesting.
let me just say really quickly, for those of you who are trying to get on, and maybe you can't hear me because you're trying to get on the computer, but if you could just put something out in the chat room just for people to call in if they're having problems hearing or getting on. If you are on your social networking site and you mentioned that you're listening to the show, just give out the number for people to call in and listen, and it's 914-803-4399. I understand some people are having some problems signing in. Adia, can you share, like, some of the products that you use?
Oh.
Because, again, that's another issue, knowing what, like she just said, what to even use on your hair.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite topics. So first, let me start by saying that there's a school of thought out there that you don't need to be a product junkie as a natural, meaning that you have all these different products that you try and try and try. In theory and further in your journey, that is indeed the case. But I really honestly feel when you first start out, in order to find the products that do work for your hair, you have to try several different things.
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, you don't have to be a product junkie, I don't think that that's 100% accurate and fair, because then people feel like they have to stay with this one product because they tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily the case. So I have definite favorites and things that I absolutely love. In terms of a line of products right now that I'm really enjoying is the Soft and Free Nothing But line. It's found in Sally's primarily, and I think Rite Aid, and also online. Generally, I like a product in a line or a product or two in a line. This line, I like the entire line. I really do. To me, they have a clarifying shampoo, which, in my opinion, is the best clarifying shampoo on the market. I have tried salon brands. I have tried, or designer brands, whatever you want to call those. I've tried other over-the-counters. I've tried the natural ones and the organic ones. And for me, And I'm kind of a four-ish, if people are wondering what my type is. I don't really type my hair. It's just Adia's hair. I don't do the one, two, three, or four. It's just my hair.
Yeah.
But I do have some pieces that are other textures. But that clarifying shampoo, it clarifies, but it doesn't strip. And that, to me, that's one of my favorite. You can use it weekly in your regimen if you want to. That's how gentle it is, but that's how good it also cleanses your scalp. They have a co-wash conditioner. They have an intense mask that's good that I've used for with my steamer. They have a curl sealer, which is a good kind of just general moisturizer. It's pretty light. And then they have a pure pudding that I use for one of my twisting creams. And so that's one of my three favorite twisting creams. My other two favorite twisting creams are Nice and Curly, and I think it's made by the same makers as the Jamaican Lime and Mango line of products. I've only been able to find that online at some online stores, but it is a great product. It's called Curl Me Up Curly Pudding. And it's about $5, and I found it on Amazon, and it is, in terms of definition, it gives me great definition. And it's not pasty, it's not overly tacky and leaving your hair sticky and that sort of thing. And then my other favorite twisting cream is by the Four Naturals line, which that's probably my second favorite line, right after Soft and Free Nothing. But I really do like the entire line of the Four Naturals, which is by Bronner Brothers. But their Afro Stretch Curl Cream also gives me tremendous definition. And I know that's what a lot of people are looking for
when they are doing, you know, searching for products and things like that, or products that give them really great definition. And those three twisting creams give me the type of definition that I like for my hair to have. In terms of other products, conditioners, I, again, like the ones in Soft and Free, Nothing But. I got to go look in my pantry of products to see what else I like, because there are several things that I typically use. I still use Hello Hydration by Herbal Essence as a kind of a out treatment a little bit. I still do the, if those are familiar with YouTube, I use the Kim A tube wash method, and so part of that is as you're rinsing the shampoo out of your hair, you put a conditioner on to kind of coat your hair so the shampoo doesn't overly strip your hair. So I use like Hello Hydration for something like that.
Cool.
Let's think, what else? Really my staple products are water in a spray bottle. I put a little bit of oil and sometimes some leave-in conditioner in that.
Mm-hmm.
And extra virgin olive oil, that is my everyday go-to moisturizer of choice, or oil of choice. I add it to everything, to my conditioners, my deep conditioners, my water bottle. It's in everything that I have. And so those are the two things that I use most often.
Now, is Sharon Tina still on the line?
Yep, they're here.
What are some of your favorite products for your hair?
Well, like I said, I don't use a lot of products, but this is so overwhelming. It's like so much to choose from, and it's just like, okay, I'll just use shampoo, conditioner, and call it a day. But I have tried Hair Rules. I really like their products, and also Eden Body Works. I just started using their products, and I really like it. It makes my hair really soft, especially the deep conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
I also have tried Shea Moisture. It seems like a lot of the like curl defining products leave like a film on my hair. So sometimes I don't know if it's that I'm using too much or what it is, but I don't really like to use a lot of them because you know I end up having to just wash it right back out in order to even do anything else with it. So that's pretty much all I use. And like I use like Pantene, you know, regular, you know, like common brand. So. Nothing
right.
special.
Well, let me ask you both this, because earlier Adia spoke about, you know, we were talking about what the natural hair craze is all about, and she was talking about redefining beauty, you know, the various reasons why people do it. Now, you all know for yourself that there are many people out there who refuse to do it. and they don't look at it like we were all talking about earlier. They're not looking at it as redefining beauty. As a matter of fact, they don't find it beautiful.
Exactly.
Why do you think that is? What do you think maybe have led them to start thinking that way?
I think that starts at a very young age. I think ultimately it's just a social norm, you know, from how they were raised and how they were brought up. Like it's people that are very close to me that, like, say, I don't know how you wear your hair like that. I would never. Like, it looks tacky. Like, they've said that to me. And I'm like, oh, you know, thanks a lot. My hair is natural. You're saying this to me. But from what I understand, it's just, like, they're kind of, like, brainwashed, I guess, into thinking that your hair has to be straight, pressed, or whatever. And if it's not, then it looks unkept, you know. So, I don't know. I think it's really a social norm that stems from their upbringing or how they feel about themselves in relation to the image that their hair gives them.
I would definitely agree with that it is almost systematic brainwashing to a degree that anything other than bone straight is not beautiful. And that has been something that even I've had to kind of come to grips with, because being relaxed for so long, you're used to your hair looking a certain way and you looking a certain way. And so when I went natural, I had to, when I was looking in the mirror, I had to almost look at myself in a different way. And I had an experience with a very close relative of mine who looked at me one day and was like, you know what, I don't like your hair. And my heart went into my feet. I was torn up. So I went up, I went to my room, I looked in the mirror, and I was like, you know what? That day I didn't really moisturize my hair. It was not in the best style possible. I honestly didn't look my best. So I honestly had to have a conversation with myself and said, oh, this is the last day that I'm going to contribute to somebody saying that about me. So I had to really kind of at that point encourage myself and say, okay, Adia, you have to take the necessary steps and the discipline to be able to do your hair, to style it in the best way possible so that you represent on the outside how you feel and who you are on the inside. And that's one of the things that I try to tell some naturals, because some of them almost have this, a little bit of a, I hate to say it, like a cavalier attitude, like you're just supposed to, you know, accept me, you know, no matter how I come out of the house with natural hair. And that's not the case. I'm sorry if it bursts anybody's bubble, but that's really not the case. When I step out of the house, I not only represent myself, but I represent an entire community of people. And I've had men that I knew did not like natural hair in the come to me and say, you know what, I didn't really like natural hair until I saw the way that you wear it. And so I saw the different styles that you put it in and how great you look with your hair in this way. And now I'm encouraging my girlfriend, my wife, to go natural because I see how you're able to maintain it and how you're able to do it. So that's a huge compliment to me. And no, I'm not necessarily doing it for that, but again, I do represent more than just myself. I do represent my community as well. So I feel like we also have to bring something to the table and do our best. And like one of the questions that you sent me was, what is beauty to me? And I think that that is being the best you that you can be, taking whatever measures required or that you want to take to be the best you that you can be, even in terms of your outward beauty, no matter what size, no matter what complexion, no matter what texture your hair is, no matter what flaws you feel like you have, using the tools, the clothing, the techniques that are available to us to be the best you that you can be.
Absolutely. And Shelly in the chat room, you may have seen this question. Shelly in the chat room is asking, how do you fight shrinkage?
It's an everyday fight. And I honestly, it's honestly something I feel like you have to embrace. I think that there are two things, in my opinion, in this natural hair journey that you have to embrace. One is shrinkage, and the other one is sometimes a lack of curl definition. And I remember last year, or maybe it's been about 2 years ago now, Natural Bell out of the UK did a blog post on Are We a Slave to Curl Definition? And she talked about just, you know, we're always on the hunt for that holy grail to have all this curl definition. And I feel like we're on the same hunt when it comes to shrinkage. The only method that I've really found to fight shrinkage takes, well, there are two. One can be done relatively quickly, and that is taking heat and kind of blowing your roots and stretching your hair that way. You don't mm-hmm. have to take a comb and blow it, but if you are wearing a twist out or even a wash and go or whatever, you can take a blow dryer and place it at your root and just gently stretch your hair, and that'll stretch it that way. The other way, I think, takes a little bit longer. You can use banding, which is putting bands or scrunchies or things like that on your hair to help stretch it and dry it that way. Usually when you wear a braid out or when you braid your hair, that'll stretch it a little bit longer than sometimes mm-hmm. twists will. So those are the main methods that I know about. But sometimes with the banding, sometimes you have to band it and wait for that to dry overnight, and then you have to go back and twist it to really get maximum stretching on that. So you're talking about maybe 2 days' worth of styling, if you will. You can do it so that you twist and are banding at the same time, but that's still, I mean, that's still an overnight process to do that.
Tell us a little bit about the International Natural Hair Meetup Day that's taking place on May 18th.
Yay! One of my favorite things ever. So about 2 years ago, I started going to the World Natural Hair Show down in Atlanta. And the first year I went, it was an infectious environment. I was overwhelmed by just the love, the camaraderie, like almost the instant camaraderie. I don't know. It's just really interesting since I've been natural. Like, I have friends everywhere now just because as soon as somebody else recognizes that you're natural, you know, you at least get that head nod, or, you know, people will speak to you and things like that. So when I came back from the World Natural Hair Show, I decided I wanted to start having meetups and events in my area. And in the process of planning, I connected with other meetup event planners from across the country and realized a couple of things. That, one, there are not kind of these global, large-scale opportunities the further west you go in the country. And then a lot of people, for whatever reason, whether it's financial or family obligations or whatever, just aren't able to make what I call the pilgrimage to Atlanta for the World Natural Hair Show. So I said what I thought would be really impactful as a community, because all of the event planners that I was meeting were having meetups throughout the year, and I just thought it would be really impactful if for one day out of the year we all tried to have something, some sort of event or meetup on this one particular day. I thought it would show brands, natural hair brands, but beauty brands, technology brands, everything, that this is a community, and it's not a community that's isolated in large metropolitan areas, but that natural hair is everywhere. It's in small rural communities as well as thriving larger cities. And so that's where International Natural Hair Meetup Day came from. Last year, it was called National Natural Hair Meetup Day, and it was in May of last year. And we had about 53 cities last year, and it was just such a great success that we started getting interest from outside of the United States as well. And so mm-hmm. we changed the name to International Natural Hair Meetup Day. This year is on May 18th, 2013. We are so excited. We have about 53 confirmed cities right now. I did a call right before I called into your show with another 8 to 10 interested people, so we could have about 60 events happening literally across the world, including Canada, South Africa, and the Netherlands on May 18th. So I'm so excited, and I am very excited to work with Kelly J, who is the founder of Natural Girls Rock out of Atlanta. She is Natural Girls Rock, and she are our title sponsors for INH&B this year. They have been amazing to work with, and we're just really excited about the opportunity to be able to spread this sense of community across the world.
Wonderful. That's really wonderful. And you said last year was the first year?
Correct. So this is our second year.
So this is your second year.
Yes.
Second year, May 18th. All right.
Yes, May 18th. And anyone that's interested in wanting to see if there's an event in your area, you can go to our website. It is www.inhmd.com for International Natural Hair Meetup Day. You can also Google it. We're on Twitter at Natural Hair IMD. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook at NNHMD. We have a banging, thriving Pinterest page that has all different little boards on it, from PWA to lots and everything in between, brides, everything. So you can follow us on Pinterest at INHMD. And we're also on Instagram at INHMD as well. So you can get connected with us and find out what's going on as well.
And you mentioned YouTube. It reminded me of, tell me a little bit about your video blogging.
I do some video blogging, and I was actually recording videos this afternoon. I've had a pretty busy afternoon, but I love video blogging just in terms of the additional community that it has created for me. I'm an only child, so I have brothers and sisters and cousins and friends and pals, and my family is huge, and it expands past those people that are related to me biologically. So I really do view video blogging as talking to my friends, talking to my family, people that I've met so many great people as a result of video blogging, as a result of blogging and just being kind of in the social media environment. That's how I got connected with you all. So it's an amazing. So I've always been skeptical of people that talk about social media being so bad and all this kind of stuff. I've made some really amazing relationships as a result of being on social media. I think it is a function of what you bring to the table and what you put out there as to what you get back. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity that my network has been able to expand past the little town that I live in.
Right.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you wanted to share about natural hair that you may have missed or that you can think of?
There is one thing. The one thing that revolutionized and absolutely changed my journey. When I started doing this, things got a lot easier for me and more manageable, and that is the lock method. LOC. And I stumbled upon it following Black Onyx 77 of Allocate Naturals and her video blog, and she did a tutorial on this method. And LOC stands for liquid oil cream. And that's the order in which you apply products. And essentially you are applying something, sealing it in, applying something, sealing it in. And when I started doing that, I saw an immediate, well, not immediate, but a relatively quick difference in the moisture balance in my hair. My hair was softer. It was more manageable. When I would do things like my twist outs and things, I got a lot more definition because everything was kind of the way it should be. So for my liquid, I just use my same old spray bottle with a little bit of oil in it sometimes. Like I said, my hair is coarse and it's thick, so it absorbs a lot of moisture. One thing that you have to be considerate of is the fact that you really should figure out what works for your particular hair in terms of not only the type of products, but the amount that you apply and the frequency that you apply them. Some people with a looser texture hair may not need to apply product every day. I have to, otherwise I look like I have steel wool growing out of the top of my head the next day. So That's exactly what I have to do. And then so once I apply the liquid in my spray bottle, you don't necessarily have to saturate it at all. You do, you know, want to dampen it some. Then the next thing is the oil. And for me, I use the extra virgin olive oil almost consistently. Other people like different oils, and some people maybe feel like they can't use oil at all. You should find something that's a little bit oil-based that will help seal in that water. And then I put a cream moisturizer on top of that. So for me, most of the time, I use a curly sealer from Soft and Free Nothing But. But you can use whatever creamy moisturizer you want to. And I do it at the same time. I usually do it at night at the same time that I'm twisting my hair, preparing it for the next day, so that it absorbs some of the product so it doesn't feel greasy and any of that kind of stuff, and it's dry by the next morning. So if people are suffering and not knowing what to do with moisture, I do recommend trying that technique to see if it gives you some of the results that you're looking for and if you see a change in your hair that way.
Wow.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it has. I've been doing it for probably at least a year and a half, going on 2 years now, and I can't imagine not doing it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Adia, tell me a little bit about who's partnering with you. I'm sorry, I'm back on the meetup day. Tell me who, because you say we. Tell me who's partnering with you in this effort.
Okay, I have a great team of people that make up our committee, if you will. It's a volunteer committee, and they work like it is their full-time paid gig, and they are just an amazing group of women that are committed, as I am, to natural hair and the journey and all of that kind of thing. So I have people, Sharita Bell out of Delaware and Quintella Bester that lives in St. Louis. My director of operations, who's like my right-hand person, is Lydia Boyd out of L.A. She's the founder of the L.A. Curly Girls. And Faye Love, Farah, who's down in Florida. Like, so my committee is all across the country, which is amazing. And in this age of technology, we're able to connect. And we had a conference call this evening just catching up on everything that's going on. So I have Faye Love of Naturals in the Sun out of Florida, and Jaquay, who's doing an event and is out of Jackson, Tennessee, Tashara in Texas, my meetup chair, who actually works with every event host across the country, is April McKissick out of Arkansas, who founded a company called FCA Naturals. My marketing person is Darice out of Indianapolis, Haley out of Louisville, Keeney out of Atlanta, Marcy in South Carolina. And I actually have a member of my family that is on the committee, my cousin Sakia, who lives in Raleigh. So it is an amazing group of people that I'm working with on International Natural Hair Meetup Day. They help spread the word. They interact with sponsors. They interact with event hosts. They interact with potential with participants and attendees and things like that. We also have amazing sponsors who, these people, some of them have reached out to us. In addition to Natural Girls Rock, we have sponsors like Luster Silk Curl Max and Eden Body Works and Coils by Nature, who she has been an amazing supporter, both personally and as well as with INHMD. Blue Magic, Curls is coming back again. And that's the thing that I've been really blessed by with this process, is that people came on board last year and they wanted to come back, which says a lot about the type of events and the type of exposure that we were able to give them through this event. April with FCA Naturals on our committee, she's actually going to be a sponsor. So it's also a great avenue for smaller businesses and people that are trying to expand their base. We have people that are giving us coupon codes in terms of codes that our events and attendees can use to get discounts on their products online. We have giveaway sponsors, Sisters with Beauty. We just have a lot of people that are so supportive, and we are so blessed and thankful for all the support that we've received.
That's wonderful. It really is. It sounds like a really great event. I just wish you the best with that and pray that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I receive that, and I appreciate that.
Do you have any other, like, social media addresses you want to give out so people can follow you all over the web? I know you do Pinterest and Twitter.
Absolutely. I am on Pinterest, and I think it's just Pinterest.com, Trendy Socialite. Let me see. And I'm on Instagram, Trendy Socialite. I am on Twitter, Trendy Socialite, and then my Facebook page is facebook.com/thetrendysocialite. So I'm on just about everything. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/ARR1216. And I will put that information in the chat box too for people.
Cool. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're going to have to come back on after May 18th and share with us all the great information that was shared and tell us all about how successful the day went. I would love to do that.
You're forgetting one thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, she answered that question earlier.
Oh.
She was telling me that I was forgetting to ask you what beauty was to you, but you answered that when you were answering another question. But can you just repeat again what beauty is to you?
To me, beauty is being the best you that you can be, absorbing all of the information and making the best use of everything that God has given to you, even those things that you think you would like to change about yourself. And just always putting your best foot forward when you interact with people from the inside out.
Absolutely.
Cool. I agree.
Well, thank you again so much. And we are definitely keeping in touch for sure. And for those of
Please
you
do. Enjoy- I've been so thrilled and honored to share this time with you all. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you to those who listened and joined in the chat room and listened on by phone. If you enjoyed tonight's conversation, please go out and mark it as a favorite right here on our Blog Talk Radio profile page. And again, you can join us over on Beauty Talk Online Radio Facebook page. And you can join us as well, Adia. We're going to go over to Facebook for a few minutes and continue chatting about natural hair.
Okay.
So join us over there if you like. And until next week, have a wonderful and blessed week. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
You all, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.